But I want to share with you a simple message entitled, When You Don't Know What to Do. Anyone ever been there? You've been in a position, a place, of course, we all have, haven't we? Just when we think we have all the answers, God gives us teenagers. Just when we think we have all the answers, He gives us daughters. Just when we think we have all the answers and we know which way to go, we hit that roadblock and we wonder, Lord, what do I do now? Where do I go? What on earth do I do? And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we have a very familiar story, at least familiar, I think, to many of us here today. Just to give you a little bit of a background, Israel and Judah are now two separate entities. After King Solomon died, his son Rehoboam came to the throne, and through some very foolish decisions, the nation of Israel split into two entities. 10 of the tribes of Israel formed what would become the nation of Israel. And throughout their short existence, they were ruled by very ungodly, unsavory kings. The nations to the south, the tribes to the south, Judah and Benjamin, comprised the nation of Judah. And it were these two tribes that were faithful to the house of David. David, not only David's son, his grandson, great-grandson, all of his progeny ruled and reigned in Israel. Were all of them godly as David was? No. But compared to Israel to the north, many of their kings chose to serve God and lead the nation, lead their people in the ways of the Lord. One of those kings was King Jehoshaphat. He came to the throne at a time of great national distress. And in fact, in chapter 19, we read the fascinating story of how he and King Ahab allied together against the enemies of Syria. Ahab was not serving God, but he needed help against the marauding enemy. And so, feeling he was going to do a brother a good service, Jehoshaphat joined forces. Unfortunately, the battle did not go well for Ahab. He was killed, the nation of Israel were routed, and the armies of Judah also returned weakened and in somewhat demoralized. But at least Jehoshaphat was alive. And as he came to the throne room, a prophet met him. And the prophet had a very unusual message for him. The prophet castigated him for aligning himself with the ungodly of Israel, and that God was not pleased. And yet, the Lord had a message that due to his heart that was still sensitive towards God, that the Lord would still have his hand upon him. Jehoshaphat then set himself to lead the nation in several reforms. And it is significant to note that the reforms that Jehoshaphat led Israel were not political in nature. He did not set laws and rules changing the political climate. No, he began with a spiritual restoration. He began by rebuilding the temple and the worship that for many years had been neglected and forgotten. He reestablished worship and sacrifice in the temple. For Jehoshaphat knew, as the people's worship went, so would the government. As the people of God were worshiping God, so would the nation go. And so he understood the priority that worship had for the nation. And that if his government was going to succeed, flourish, and prosper, then the worship of God's people needed to be set in order and prioritized. As I read this story, I'm reminded that each and every one of us today are raging a battle. It's not a battle against government. It's not a battle against ideologies. It's not a battle against religions. It's not a battle against persons. It's a spiritual battle in the spiritual realms. It's taking place all around us. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against a spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Paul is saying our battle is not with the person who doesn't believe like we do, or those who ridicule us or belittle us for believing in Jesus or even questioning his reality. No, our battle is not with an out-of-control government or judicial system. Our battle isn't even physical. Our battle is spiritual. And Jehoshaphat, thousands of years before Paul penned those words, understood this reality. And so he doesn't gather the army, he doesn't gather parliament, he doesn't do anything, but when he hears the news that the enemy is encroaching on his doorstep, he understands that if anything is going to change, if victory is going to be held, then it's going to come as he leads God's people in prayer and praise. Does praise work? Yes. Praise is so much more than a period of time that we have on Sunday mornings before the preaching of the word. Praise is so much more than an activity that we perform, a song that we sing. No, praise is a lifestyle that testifies to all those around that in spite of what we see, we will trust the Lord, and we will declare with our mouths, we will declare in faith that our God reigns. I believe more than ever before, it is critical that we be a people of everyday praise, that we do not stop vocalizing our praise. Oh, you might say, Pastor, I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. Did I say anything about singing? Did I say anything about playing an instrument? Thank God for our musicians. Thank God for our singers. Thank God for our worship leaders. But folk, whether we can sing a tune in a bucket, the Bible doesn't say don't just sing. It says to declare our praise. And it begins with a decision to praise the Lord. In verse 1, we read after this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Munites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It's already in Hazon Tamor, which is En Gedi. In other words, Jehoshaphat, that battle that you won a few months ago, and you've been setting all these religious reforms, and everything is going smooth and honky-dory, well, guess what? The enemy hasn't taken a rest. The enemy sees what you're doing, and he's thinking he's got an advantage. And so he's come, and guess what, Jehoshaphat? He's right at your doorstep. He's right at the doorstep of the city, and we don't know what to do. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat called the army. No. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat called parliament. No. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Now, can I just take a moment? We have been having a call to prayer in the last several months. Our prayer times on Saturday nights have been full with the presence of God. I'm thankful for those who have been hearing his call. But can I tell you something that disturbs me? When I hear people say, well, I don't need to come to prayer meeting to pray. I can pray at home. I don't need a week of prayer and fasting in the church. I have my own prayer. I can pray from my heart. And you know what? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But there are times in the life of a believer, there are times in the life of a church when we need to obey the call of the Spirit, when He calls us together as His people to pray together. If you will do a cursory study of God's Word from the Old Testament through the New Testament, you will see that things happen when God's people come together to pray with and for one another and for their nation. Folks, something happens, and I believe it's God's will, it's God's call that we not be independent, that we go and do our own thing. Yes, praise God, we can have a home to pray in, but there is something that happens in the spiritual realm when God's people gather together to seek His face. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. They gathered in Jerusalem, and the king cried out to the Lord. And then the Lord answers through a word from a prophet in verse 17. Listen to this word that the Lord gives through His prophet. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Now, can I just stop there for a moment? Remember what I just said a moment ago? How Joshua had gone into a battle war alliance with Ahab. And God has some very stern words for him. Why was God so stern with Jehoshaphat that first time? I believe part of the answer we find is given to us in these verses that we've just read. And I think it's because God wanted Joshua to see there are some battles that God doesn't intend for you to fight. There are some battles that God doesn't intend for you to go and fight with your own wit and genius. Jehoshaphat went with Ahab with his army, doing what he knew to do. He was a brilliant tactician. He was a brilliant soldier. And it was easy for him to go into battle and plan out a war strategy. And God is saying to him, and I believe He's saying to us, folk, there's a battle you're facing. The enemy has come. He's encroached upon your doorstep. You can feel his evil breath breathing down your neck. Fear is beginning to fill your heart. But God's word to you is this: you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. But go out and face your enemy, and the Lord will be with you. Folk, you don't need to go and face battles that God has already determined He is fighting for you. So Jehoshua bows his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down. Look what it says. Listen to this, church. We've been doing this all morning. Listen to this. He bowed his face to the ground. What's he doing? That prostration before God was symbolic of his heart that was being, he was humbling before the Lord and giving complete subservience to. It is the exact posture that a defeated general or king would give to his conqueror. Jehoshaphat was simply saying, he was saying, I am surrendering to you, God. And folk, if we want to see victory in our battles, we need to be able to bow with our hearts before God and say, God, I surrender to you. And then it says he fell down in worship. And some of the Levites from the Kohathites and the Korathites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. He's faced with an impossible situation. Jehoshaphat and all of Judah, notice they didn't complain or argue or feel sorry for themselves. They came and they praised the Lord. Not only did he make a decision in praise, but notice the direction of his praise. You see, all of us here have a decision to make. Are we going to praise or are we going to complain? Are we going to worship or are we going to wallow? Are we going to go forward or are we going to bow and surrender? And as we do, not only do we bow down, but the direction of our praise is to look up. In verse 12, Jehoshaphat prays, "We have no power to face this vast enemy that's attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." They said, "Look, God, these armies are all around us. We're outnumbered. But Lord, we're looking up. We're looking to you today." And then Jehoshaphat does something very significant. Jehoshaphat, in verse 21, Jehoshaphat, after he led the people in fasting and in prayer, after he receives this word from the Lord, he appoints men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out. You got to think about this for a moment, folk. Can you imagine our prime minister sending out our armies, whether in Afghanistan or to Iraq or wherever in this world, and saying, "Okay, guys, you're going to go out to battle, but I'm not going to give you any guns or tanks. I'm going to give you a song sheet. I'm going to give you some drums. I'm going to give you some cymbals. Some of you might have a bagpipe or two. You got a trumpet." You would look at our prime minister and you would go, "Have you lost your mind?" And I am sure there were some people who looked at Jehoshaphat wondering if he had lost his mind too. But Jehoshaphat had learned a powerful lesson that had been passed on to him from his great-great-grandfather David, that as you go into battle, it's not what you carry in your hand that wins, but it's the word of praise flowing from your heart through your mouth to the Lord. That is what brings down Goliath. That's what brings down the enemy. And so when we seek to follow the Lord, it's not our wit and genius that brings us victory. Says, "God, I'm trusting in you. God, I worship you." When the circumstances have you surrounded, if you want to experience the power of praise, you need to look up. That's the direction of praise. But I want you to also notice the duration of praise. In verse 18, he praises before the battle. All the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then during the battle, they begin to sing and praise. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Then after the battle, in verse 26, on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka where they praised the Lord. Now, most of us wouldn't have a problem praising God as we're facing a battle. After all, let's be honest, we want to hedge our bets. We want to make sure we've got everything right. So yeah, let's praise God. And then as we're in the heat of battle, as we take our hands off the battle, we witness God bringing the enemy to its knees. And we can rejoice at the defeat of the enemy, because God is the one who's been glorified and exalted. Then the Bible says they came to a valley that was called the Valley of Baraka. And if you were to go to that valley today, you would find it's really nothing but a hole in the desert. There's nothing there. There's nothing. Lots of rocks, some caves, lots of sand. It's hot. But what made the difference? What made the difference was when the people had won the battle and they found themselves in this valley, they didn't complain about where they were. They began to rejoice and to continue to praise, even in that desert, even when they were, even in the twilight of that victory, they saw opportunity to praise. And folk, what an important lesson for you and I. When I was a youth pastor, and I would take my young people to a youth convention or on a youth retreat or on a missions trip, and it was always an extreme spiritual high experience. And they would come back and they would testify to what God had done for them and through them and in them. And it was easy to praise the Lord. It was easy. But then they had to go back to school the next day. They had to go back to their jobs. Some of them had to go back to their families where mom and dad or brothers and sisters didn't serve God. And it was hard. It was difficult. And many of those young people would call me and say, "Pastor Ralph, I don't know what's happening. It was so wonderful at youth convention when thousands of young people were praising God around the altars. It was so awesome on that missions trip when we were worshiping and we were leading people to Jesus. But now, Pat, now Ralph, I'm in at home. Mom and Dad don't love you. They don't seek you. It's really hard." My answer to them was always the same. Don't stop praising. Don't stop worship. Don't stop being thankful to God. Keep God focused. Keep praising Him. Even in the midst of your desert, though you don't understand it, keep Him in focus, and God will turn that desert time into a valley of praise where you will find His deliverance. The deliverance of praise in verse 27. Then led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets and drums and keyboards and violins and basses and sound equipment and everything that had breath. Praise the Lord. And folk, that's why we're here today. Regardless what you're facing, let's stand, let's praise the Lord with everything that we have. Proverbs 21:31 says, "Go ahead, prepare for the conflict, but victory comes from the Lord." Yes, there's power in praise. So when you don't know what to do, turn your eyes of faith to the Lord and praise Him. Praise Him when you don't understand the battle. Praise Him as you prepare to go into battle. Praise Him and let Him fight your battle. And praise Him after the battle in the valley of praise. Hallelujah. Are you ready to praise some more? Let's stand together. Catherine, lead us to the throne today.